Before I preach, I just want to mention three things from current events. But perhaps I'll just read the scriptures first. I'll read the scriptures first and then I'll mention three things from current events. 1 Peter chapter 5, page 1474 in this Bible. Page 1474, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Page 1474. Be vigilant, watch. Your adversary or enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And then in one other passage in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, page 1196. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Page 1196. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Just after Matthew's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And immediately on his going out of the ship, there met him out of the tombs a man possessed by an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs, and no one was able to bind him, not even with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been torn asunder by him, and the fetters were shattered, and no one was able to subdue him. And continually, night and day, in the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying and cutting himself with stones. But seeing Jesus from afar off, he ran and did him homage. And crying with a loud voice, he says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, torment me not." For he said to him, "Come forth, unclean spirit, out of the man." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he says to him, "Legion is my name, because we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, just at the mountain, a great herd of swine feeding. And they besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And Jesus immediately allowed them. And the unclean spirits, going out, entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep slope into the sea, about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And those that were feeding them fled, and reported it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had taken place. And they come to Jesus, and they see the possessed of demons, sitting and clothed and sensible, him that had the legion, and they were afraid. The three events that I wanted to talk to you about, linked with these two passages, is, one is the release of a film. There's a film that's been released recently called Pray for the Devil, P-R-E-Y, for the Devil. And it says, the Roman Catholic Church combats a global rise in demonic possessions by reopening schools to train priests to perform exorcisms. Although nuns are forbidden to perform this ritual, a professor recognised Sister Anne's gifts and agrees to train her. Thrust into the spiritual front line, she soon finds herself in a battle for the soul of a young girl who's possessed by the same demon that tormented her own mother years earlier. The other event I wanted to mention was that over the weekend, over 150 people died in South Korea in a crush, a stampede at a Halloween event. Over 150 people were choked to death or died as a result of suffocation, being trampled in a stampede at a Halloween event. And tomorrow, as we know, is Halloween. Those that know a lot about these things in the occult say that it's the devil's holiday. Halloween is the celebration of the dead. It's the devil's holiday. How all three things that I've mentioned are all to do with Halloween, all to do with the spirit world, all to do with the devil and his angels. And that's why I read 1 Peter 5, because we have an adversary, the devil, the enemy, who is against us and is again is the enemy of our souls. And the name of that film, which I definitely do not recommend watching, it's a warning, do not watch it. But the title is called Pray for the Devil. People like to go to the cinema and get scared. People need to be afraid of the one true God. The gospel is preached so that we might be have a fear, a reverence and a fear, and a rightful fear of the one true living God. And if we truly fear the one true God and are saved, we don't need to fear anything else. But doesn't pray for the devil, P-R-E-Y, just sum it up? The verse that I read said that your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And a lion or another animal like that will rip apart its prey. It will devour its prey. And in the spiritual realm, the devil is like a lion, as it says in this passage, that is seeking to devour souls. Those people in South Korea, in Seoul, they went out looking for some kind of celebration in the evening, and more than 150 lost their lives. What a warning that is. No doubt linked to the fact that it's a Halloween event. There are the devil and his angels are enemies of your soul. And the gospel is preached so that you might be able to flee from the devil and that you might be protected against the activities of the devil. And there's only one person who can do that. There's only one person who can save you from the devil and his angels. In Matthew 25, we've been reading recently in Matthew's gospel, but in Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus said that there is eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So the devil knows where he's going. The devil knows his destination. We were just talking about that earlier. The devil knows where he's going. He's going to the lake of fire, the place of eternal judgment, the place of eternal punishment by God. Because he rebelled against God at the beginning, before the world was made. He rebelled against God. And he is deceiving people. One of his key names is he is a deceiver. That means he tricks people. Interesting, isn't it, that in Halloween they do trick or treat. God doesn't want to trick you. God wants to tell you the truth. He wants to show you the truth about the fact that you need the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. So this first passage that we had in 1 Peter 5 is a warning, isn't it? Because the devil goes about as a roaring lion. Not literally, but spiritually. He goes about devouring whoever he can. And how many ways we know well, don't we, that the devil devours people. He devours them with drink and drugs. He devours them with violence. Even those people that were trampled, he devours them in many different ways, doesn't he? Jesus said the thief comes not to steal and kill and destroy. The devil's work has always been to destroy souls. People are being destroyed ultimately by the effects of sin, aren't they? The ravages of sin. People are being destroyed in war. People are being destroyed by famine that is raging the earth. We're in one of the parts of the world where we don't feel it so much, but many people are being destroyed and killed by famine, hunger. But the good news is, in all of this, because the gospel is good news, we don't have to be concerned about the evil of the world. We have to be aware of it. And we have to know that there are evil films and evil things that happen. And the devil's holiday is celebrated. But the Lord Jesus Christ has the answer. And when he meets this man in Mark chapter 5, what a wonderful, amazing transformation happens in the life of this man. I just read it. As I read this passage, I thought how relevant that is to today. Jesus came to the other side of the sea, and immediately on his going out of the ship, there met him out of the tombs a man who lived in the graves. That reminds us of some of the things about Halloween, doesn't it? A man who lived in the graves. That's a dreadful place, isn't it? A place of death. And we are all dead in sins. We are all dead and away from God. We're dead inside. When we become a Christian, we become new inside. We're given a new life inside. And when someone gets baptized, it's an evidence that they've received that new life inside. How wonderful that is. But this man lives in a place of death. Death is celebrated in a lot of different ways, isn't it? I understand in Mexico they have a day called the Day of the Dead. I think it might be the 1st of November or thereabouts. And they walk along with skulls and skeletons to celebrate it. How serious that is. The Lord Jesus Christ came that you and me and everyone who hears the gospel might have life. Not just life in our body, but life inside, eternal life. I heard a preacher speak the other day that said that we are just like we're like vessels, we're like packages. Our body is just the outward packaging for our soul. Our soul is the part of us that lives on forever. Our body is just not going to live forever, is it? But our soul lives on forever. We know that our bodies will be changed, but our body dies when we go into death, but our soul lives on forever. And that's what matters more than anything else, dear friends, where your soul is going to spend eternity. Your soul can either spend eternity with God in heaven, or it can spend eternity in the same place where the devil is going to be, eternal fire. Because God has to judge evil. God one day is going to call to account all of the evil that there has been throughout history. You've read about it in history books, people like Hitler and Stalin. Not just them, but all the other evil deeds throughout history, but also us. Because we're all sinners, we're all in the same bracket. We haven't all done the terrible things that these other people have done. We've all done something against God's law. We've all chosen to go our own way. We've told lies. We've been disobedient to our parents. We've been jealous of others. We've said unkind words to others. We've had unkind thoughts. We've all done things wrong. But this man lives in the tombs. It might seem extreme to say, but it's a bit like what we're like before we become a Christian. Because our life is dead. We're living a life that we're dead inside. This man lives in the tombs and he's possessed by an unclean spirit. There are unclean spirits, which are the devil's angels, the demons, fallen angels. And their activity is evident today. And no one was able to bind him. He's a complete social outcast. Maybe he's an equivalent today to a very hardcore drug addict or something like that. And no one was able to subdue him. He is out of control. His life is totally out of control. Maybe that reminds us of other people that we've seen. Maybe it reminds us in some ways of ourselves that we have no hope apart from meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. This man is a very sad character. He has been the prey for the devil. Just like that film, he's been the prey for the devil. The devil has preyed on him. The devil was sent a bad spirit to be in him, and he's utterly hopeless and out of control. We need to see ourselves in some way like that. We need the Lord Jesus. This man, there's no hope for him. His life maybe is not going to last very long. It doesn't take long for years of abuse to take their toll, does it? Years of terrible living. He was continually night and day in the tombs and in the mountains, crying and cutting himself with stones. People cut themselves today, don't they? People hurt themselves. How sad that is. What a terrible effect that is of sin. The effects of sin, the effects of hating yourself so that you cut yourself. Very, very sad, isn't it? But the most wonderful thing is when he sees Jesus. This man, he's lived a terrible, awful life, but he sees Jesus. And that's exactly what the preacher wants you to do tonight, to see Jesus. He sees Jesus afar off, and he ran and did him homage, and said, crying with a loud voice, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, torment me not." One thing to note is that the devil and all of his angels are afraid of Jesus. It says the demons believe and tremble. Jesus has power over every evil spirit. Jesus has power over all of the demons. This man was possessed by many, many demons. We'll see in a moment. Jesus has power over all of that, all of those evil spirits, because Jesus is the Son of God, because he's equal with the Creator God. How wonderful that is. And it's only he that has the power to save us from the depths of our sin and the depths of being the prey for the devil. There was a picture I saw recently of depicting a little lamb, and it's depicting the like us, like a little lamb, a defenseless little lamb, and it's just about to be ripped apart by a wolf or a dog that's just about to jump on it and rip it apart. And just at the last moment, the lion, the Lord Jesus depicted as a lion, comes in and steps in and defeats the devil. How wonderful that is. It's only the Jesus that can save us from the power of the devil. It says, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And Jesus delivered the man from the demons. He said, "Come forth out of the man." They have to obey. The demons that are in this man, they have to come out because of the power that Jesus has. Jesus went to the grave of a man who had died, and he'd been in death for 4 days. His name was Lazarus. Jesus called his name, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out of the tomb. That is the power and authority that Jesus has. How wonderful that is, because Jesus' love is towards you in the gospel tonight. The reason we have a gospel is because Jesus has risen from the dead. This man is delivered from the power of the enemy, and Jesus later went on the cross to deliver us from the power of sin. Because the root cause of all of these troubles in the world, the root cause of all the sin, all the wickedness in the world and all the suffering, is the fact that we have all sinned against a holy God. And Jesus, as the Saviour, came into the world to go to the cross, to die in our place. And we've been thinking this earlier today about the suffering that Jesus had to bear for you and for me. What we were reading about this afternoon was that they spat in Jesus' face. They hit him on the face. They put a crown of thorns on his head, a purple robe, and they mocked him and scourged him. How awful it was what Jesus went through for you and for me. He was hung up on a cross with nails through his hands and his feet, and he died in that place for you and for me. When Jesus cast these demons out of the man, that was the man saved. But when Jesus died on the cross, it was to save all who put their trust in him. That was the greatest victory of all time, dear friends. The greatest victory is the victory that was won at the cross. And when Jesus had finished bearing our sins, he said, "It is finished." That, dear friends, is the victory that has been won over the devil, over death and sin. And he has broken the power of death for all those who trust in him. All those who trust in him have eternal life. And we're born again and we're made new inside. Because he died on the cross and rose again, and the tomb is now empty. So he says to the man, "What is your name?" And those demons that were, those unclean spirits that were cast out, went out and rushed out, went into some pigs, and they went down the slope into the sea. But what happens to the man? He's transformed. He's transformed from a raging, out of control lunatic who is utterly, completely hopeless. And he's transformed. And what? Where is he? He says he is clothed and sensible. And he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. How wonderful that is. What a transformation. And that is the transformation that takes place when someone truly becomes a Christian. Truly is born again and given a new life inside. And that power tonight, dear friends, is the same as it was 2,000 years ago. Jesus is still healing people. He's still transforming people's lives. He's still giving them new life inside. And what do we have to do? We have to repent. That means we have to recognize that we, although we're not as maybe perhaps as bad of that as that man in some ways, we recognize that our sin has offended a holy and righteous God. We recognize that our sin has upset God and has separated us from God. And we put our faith and trust in what Jesus has done at Calvary's cross. And all those who have truly trusted in him will not be prey for the devil. All those who have truly trusted in him are given the Holy Spirit inside. And the Holy Spirit is greater than any power of the devil. Every true believer is indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every true believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who is equal with God. May we all have an assurance that we're saved. May we all have, like this man, an assurance that we are saved by Jesus, because him alone can save us. May we not be prey for the devil. May we come to the foot of the cross tonight, dear friends. It's so urgent. The evil in the world is rising, as we well know. The evil is becoming more evident. The devil's activities are growing, but so are the Holy Spirit's. And the Holy Spirit is calling to you tonight to come to Jesus before it is too late, in order that you might be saved before the door of mercy closes. How wonderful it is to have that peace in our hearts, knowing that we are safe with him. No matter what happens in the world, no matter how terrible the world gets, no matter how awful things get in our personal lives, if we've truly trusted in him and we're indwelt by the Spirit and we read God's words, we know that we are safe with him, for his name's sake.